Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. It's not Dave. It's definitely not Patrick. It's PC Tunney here, Bandwagon Nerds 251. We have a bit of a skeleton crew in more ways than one today. Joining me is a man freshly awoken, it seems.
One sleep.
No, okay. I don't know. You fall asleep sometimes, though. You know what I mean. But a busy man himself, the many... Varianted Ray Cash joins the show as well today. Ray, how you doing?
Yeah, it's a day. How you doing?
I'm here, ready to talk some nerd shit. Ready to watch some Little League World Series after we're done here. I've been really into that so far. But the scientist joins us as well, DPP. How you doing over there, brother?
It's kind of a skeleton crew over here at the Thunderdome as well. The Dillinator's out on assignment for a week and a half, so...
Uh-oh.
I don't know what to do with myself right now.
Oh, damn. Play video games and drink?
I mean, I don't know if I can say that. Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
That's what I'm doing. Well, we got it. We still got a great show for you today. Why don't we get right into a little bit of Umbrella Academy? I know DP is going to sit this one out. He is not caught up. But I know Ray's watched it. I know Ray's watched all of it. So let me refresh you a little bit on what was going on here on episode 3 in this final season of Umbrella Academy. The episode appropriately named The Squid and the Girl, which is where we kind of start the episode. There's this giant squid that was caught, and you're watching a news report, and when they go in and cut the squid open, this girl falls out, and something about the cleanse, and we're off and running. And later on in the episode, we believe that Jennifer is that girl who has come out of the squid. We kind of left off where the episode 2 ended, where the siblings, the Umbrella Academy themselves, are trying to recuperate after the genes kidnap Jennifer, T-boning them. So Jennifer is being held by Jean and Jean. They're being very nice to her. Klaus is in an alley, being accosted by a man named Quinn, who says he owes him $40,000. Five and Lila, we learn that Five can only teleport to the apocalypse, which is his apocalypse, and we're going to get into a little more of that.
Well, and to the subway.
Yeah, it's a subway. Yeah. And in the meantime, Luther, Victor, and Allison are on their way to see Reginald Hargreaves. And when they get there, things are a little bit different than they expected, Ray. How did you feel about this episode as a whole and where we're trying to go here? Because all of this ends with them learning that Diego has information about how Ben died, and that the fact that the members of the Umbrella Academy don't actually know how he died. They've kind of had that memory erased, and when we leave this episode, a very different Reginald is helping these members of the Umbrella Academy in a very odd machine try to regain their memory of what happened to Ben. Ray?
Real quick, before I go, remind me, is it this episode when we see the memory of what happened to Ben?
No.
Or is that next episode?
That's next episode. We end with them in the chair and the process just beginning. Five sits this out. So does Lila, who says I would prefer
Lila's
spectate.
Lila's not involved.
Right. But Victor was not involved either, but wanted to be a part of knowing this memory to be more a part of the team.
Which makes sense. Okay. And I asked that particularly because I didn't want to spoil anything.
I appreciate that.
Well, first and foremost, man, Reggie just be on some shit, don't he?
The Reggie. As much as he's a different Reggie and has a wife who's lovely and you know, they're surprised that these people are welcoming them in, the security guards and everything. Like you said, he's still fucking Reggie Hargreaves.
He's going to be Reggie, man. As you'll see in the next couple episodes, though, this Reggie is, there is a little bit of difference about this Reggie. There's a willingness to understand that the other Reggies we've seen didn't have. It was kind of funny to see dead wife, now alive wife, just chilling, playing the violin. And you think, oh, well, that's why Vanya/Victor did that. Right. Because remember, that was Seven was the violinist, right? The white violin. But it's all about Jennifer and the cleanse, right? And you find out that the genes wasn't hiding her. Reggie was hiding her. What did Soulja Boy say? Drake. He said Drake was Drake, the guy who was hiding his kid from the world, but had the world hide from this kid. That's what Reggie was doing with Jennifer. Because you know the whole time you're thinking, number one, you're not thinking Reggie's hiding her. You're thinking the genes have been hiding her because they have something. They want something from her, but you watch and you see, well, no, they were trying to get her. And like usual, the Umbrellas fucked it up. They are the most bumbling team you've ever seen.
Well, we wouldn't have much of a series if they weren't, right? They probably would have been over after the first season. What's interesting to me is that the genes have the squid.
Well, that has been dead all these damn years. And did she see the squid yet?
Yeah.
Terrified of that damn squid.
As she learns that they're not nice, she starts to threaten them with a knife. Well, they have guns and they have henchmen. And they lock her in that barn with the squid. Luckily, at the end of the episode, we see Ben come along, destroy all the henchmen, everybody but the genes, basically. The genes finish off the last two guys. And then I think the female gene said it's time for a chickadoo, I believe. And I'm not sure what that is.
There's been a couple chickadoos, yes.
There's a couple chickadoos.
Is it not ironic that Jennifer, who came out of a squid, who is preternaturally terrified of a squid, is for some reason entranced with Ben, who technically is a squid?
Sure. It's saved by Ben, and they escape. So I guess next episode we'll be seeing them on the run from the genes, and what kind of this memory restoration is going to cause
it's big.
Havoc.
It's big.
Yeah, I think it should.
It's big. I'm going to put it to you like this. It's big, and this one scene the whole six-episode season was cool. But this one scene and something that happens at the end of six is the reason why it makes sense to have this season, because this, what you're going to find out, ties you all the way back to the first season and makes everything make sense.
And I think that's what we've all been looking for here. When we found out that they were going to have this be the end, they were actually going to go through with it. It's only six episodes. We're halfway through last part of the story here. I got to be honest with you. It's okay. I'm not into it as I was maybe the end of season one through season two. Even season three was kind of awkward to me, but I'm still enjoying it. I like you said, though, I'm guessing we've just been setting everything up and the ball really gets into motion here with the memory restoration. I want to know. It's interesting because Jennifer can kind of call out to Ben, and we've learned that from Sai, because Ben met up with Sai as well.
Right. But remember, they touched and something happened when the truck got rolled over. It touched, and you notice that both their arms turned like orange. Marigold orange.
Yeah, marigold. So that's probably the marigold connection, right?
Right. Is this the... You know what? I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to even spoil anything. The subway, you'll find out, is a big deal. But in this episode, when Lila finds the subway with him, because, you know, she just likes to get into shit. And Five getting shot at by himself is pretty fucking hilarious. But that subway is a big deal. And you like, what do you think about the subway situation and Five not being able to go anywhere but the subway?
Obviously, there's a reason he keeps going back there, and I'm guessing there's something he needs to accomplish there before he can be able to fully regain the control of his power.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
It's a pretty bland guesstimate, but
no, it's spot on.
There's a reason.
You'll get more, but yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We should have the boys all back next week, and maybe we'll kind of recapture their thoughts on this episode as well. Maybe DP will be caught up by then, if he hadn't already just listened to everything that happened. So I think any last thoughts here, Ray? You've seen the whole thing, so it's kind of hard to give those different thoughts.
Yes.
I'll talk about this. I feel like at some point, the Ben we see now isn't going to be the Ben we end up with. And Jennifer may have something to do with that. I don't know. So we'll see. I'll leave it that. I haven't read ahead at anything. All I've watched is I just watched the last episode three before we came on. So
I'm going to say two things and then we can kind of put a bow in it. One, I wasn't here last week to speak about episode two, but which is a fun episode.
Yeah, when they're going through the town, family road trip shit. Santa Claus is running down the fucking street with Tommy guns and gets flipped up by the car. So yeah, there was some good stuff there.
But I want you to notice that their powers are enhanced now.
Oh, sure. Yeah, like we talked about that last week, Dave and I, where Allison doesn't even have to whisper anymore, and she can just
She has full-on telekinesis, yeah.
Right, right. And then Luther seems almost damn near invincible, where he got completely shot up last week. So I'm wondering
can control. He stopped all the bullets and shot him back.
Right, Diego, that was huge. I'm just wondering how much longer that's going to last as well.
Well, that's a good point, too. Also, Diego, by far, funniest dude in the series. Not even close.
He's worried that he thinks Lila's cheating on him, and I think Lila's just bored and trying to figure some shit out.
She's cheating on him with the little... What is he? The little... not the Dutch guy or whatever, but the little Norwegian guy with the mustache or whatever he called. The Greek guy with the mustache.
Yeah.
Let me give you a setup for the next episode.
Before you do that, I just want to say my last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn seems to be in that same biker gang Pogo was in, so I imagine at some point we'll be seeing him as well.
Well, you know what? I didn't put that together. Quinn's a piece of shit. Unlike the...
Did he keep his... He kept his sunglasses too, didn't he? What a dick.
He did.
It should be dogged.
The likes of the type of dick that you don't usually see in the Umbrella Academy. Like, he's like Vanya's old boyfriend type dick. Like, he is a dick.
Oh, and they have Klaus captive right now, chained upside down, and he has an idea on how to use Klaus to repay that debt.
Yes. And though, I hate that Klaus just, like, you don't have to be a drug addict just because you can reincarnate yourself. Like, bro, get your life together.
When he steals the money and the TV from, he sees Claire and he goes off on her.
Oh, the poor baby. Yeah. That was like, hey, if you've ever known drug addicts in your life, that shit was as real as it gets. So set up for next week. is I will just let you know that there is, Reggie does shit for reasons, and there may be a particular reason why he didn't want Ben and Jennifer together.
All right, folks. Well, if you're watching along with us, check out episode 4 next week and then tune in for our recap and analysis. But for right now, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into the infamous trailer park right here on Bandwagon Nerds episode 251 right here, Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head and head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Well, howdy, y'all. Welcome to the trailer park. We've got 4 good ones for you today. And since it is all Star Wars, we might as well start with Star Wars, a new series that's going to be coming to Disney Plus in December, I believe, starring Jude Law as a Jedi. The plot of Star Wars Skeleton Crew centers on 4 children who get lost in the galaxy. It is set 9 years after the Battle of Yavin, and placing it 5 years after Return of the Jedi, so around the same time as The Mandalorian. It seems like this is 4 youngsters who are in, like, a galactic neighborhood, kind of normal, wishing to explore, and they kind of get what they wish for. And you got to be careful when that happens. And really, the end of the trailer shows us that Jude Law's character has powers that reveal it, him to be a Jedi to these kids. DP, how are you feeling about the Skeleton Crew, the next series here in Star Wars lore on Disney Plus?
I think it looks really fun. It seems like this one's, you know, geared more towards kids, obviously, because kind of kids are the lead in this, going on this adventure. So, you know, they leaning a little bit more into the, you know, this is for kids stuff on this one. But it still looks a lot of fun. Definitely going to watch it. It feels like, yeah, like you said, where they're kind of, they seem like wherever they're living is not quite in the realm. And it's almost like a Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe type of thing where all of a sudden they're like, oh shit, here we go. And now they're finding all the lore of the Jedi and, getting interconnected with the actual, you know, I guess, universe of Star Wars and everything that's going on. It's like they were, you know, shielded from it. And now all of a sudden, like, boom, here's what's actually happening out in the world kind of thing. So that was kind of neat. It's fun. And all the regular guys are directing and everything, Jon Favreau and them. So, I mean, got to be on board for that.
Yeah, Favreau and Filoni are producers on the project. Jude Law's Jedi name is Jadna Nawood, Ray. How do you like that one? You're muted.
Or like, nah.
Nah, nah, nah.
Maybe we'll see some wood in the movie.
Oh, boy.
Hey,
oh, my goodness. I don't think it's that kind of movie.
Nah, I would, bruh.
Nah, I would. I've been sitting there tripping, thinking like, man, didn't we talk about this shit? But y'all went on the show when we did. Which makes sense now.
Wait a minute.
But because
who was it on the show?
Both of y'all.
I haven't missed a show in like 2 years.
But you left, remember?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I got it.
Yeah, you literally weren't on the show at the time, which is fine. But I'm just remembering, like, man, this. I was thinking when I saw this, was there a new trailer? So I'm gonna tell you what the consensus was between all of us, which makes a lot of sense that you guys might agree with. Goonies, yeah. Meets
that's what I thought right away.
Goonies meets, yeah.
Goonies
meets what's the show, Stranger Things.
Okay.
Because only because we say those two only because it feels real, coming of age kid having fun in the summer, but something happens and we have to kind of react to it, type deal. It looks fun, as you both said. It ain't GIF me and you two. It ain't GIF at old folk. But the genius is, and I first wrestling reference of the day. Sorry. One of the genius things WWE did in the mid-2000s was when they realized that people were getting away from it and people and older folks were thinking it was stupid. But they said, man, fuck it. Go after the kids. That's what the shit was about the whole 50, 60 years before. So when a lot of people hated the PG era, but the PG era is why we have this booming shit now. Star Wars may be realizing we ain't really got that much shit to really do no more. Let's go get some kids and rebuild this fan base. I think it's genius. I think it's a genius move because kids buy everything. They buy toys. They buy merch. They make their parents buy shit in which their parents will watch shit, which makes them like shit. Genius. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Well, am I the most enthused by the idea? No. What? Hey, one of my girls say, hey, what's this? Gotcha, bitch.
If we don't cover it on the show, I'm not watching this. It doesn't look that entertaining to me. I'm not a fan.
We're not going to cover it. I doubt it.
I'm not a big fan of Jude Law to begin with. So it's going to have to really take off for me to check this one out. So. All right, let's keep moving along here. We're going to get a new Lara Croft project, Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft. Now, this series is going to take place after the reboot trilogy and is going to connect that trilogy to the original series of games. So if you're a big fan of the games and the trilogy, this is kind of that time in between. There isn't much else said about it except for Lara Croft is exploring new territory she hasn't before. The trailer doesn't give you much, but Ray, what do you think about Lara Croft and her legend?
Titties ain't big enough.
You are on one today, from the wood to the titties.
So, look, I'm not a person who that should matter to, but respecting Lara Croft, the character, the only thing, look,
I got that.
I'm the youngest here, right? So the three of us are old enough to remember when the most downloaded woman in the world was Lara Croft. The video game Lara Croft. And them things were so big.
I remember those polygons.
Yeah. Right? Well, they were pointy, though.
But now we have 3D and 4D depth. And shout out to Angelina Jolie, but respect to Alicia Vikander, who played the role fantastic the last... Lara Croft, last Tomb Raider, who is not super well endowed. They're nice, but they ain't huge, right? And I know this is, I don't want this to sound demeaning. I understand it could, so I apologize. But the point I'm trying to make is, maybe this is a problem with Tomb Raider, that the only thing that we know about or we really have cared about in these movies is Lara Croft, and is she well endowed or not? So maybe, I think the character is dope. I think it's a kind of a cool female version of Indiana Jones, almost. And, you know, it came from an animation type situation with the video game, because it was a video game first. So maybe it returning to animation will do it the justice it needs to have. Again, I'm all for more badass female characters.
Hayley Atwell will be the voice of Lara Croft, by the way.
Well, then she's going to kill it, because she got a fantastic voice.
And
in fact, I would have been mad if she played it in live action.
She's had some big roles in Marvel as well, so she's proven she can handle it.
Yeah, man, you play Peggy Carter, you a badass. But yeah, I mean, I'm here for it. I think it's cool, but again, DP, am I wrong? The only thing that you remember about Tomb Raider is isn't it the titties?
Well. I mean, yeah, but
no. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be demeaning.
I did play the last three Tomb Raider video games, and that one, they were, you know, it was more of a gritty Lara Croft, like learning the craft and a little more badass than big Yes, a big, I don't know how you put that, but I was trying to combine it. Doesn't work.
You did well. Well, we worked. We got it. We got the picture.
But, so like that trilogy of Lara Croft was definitely different, you know, than the ones from the past that you remember. So it was really good. And storyline wise was really good. And if you liked, you know, that kind of in that era of third person gaming, like Uncharted, was like fantastic. Like Tomb Raider, the first Tomb Raider of that trilogy was the first time I've ever 100% of the game. Like I loved it so much. I went and did all the shit. Like I never do that. And that one was that good. So like, and then hearing PC say like, hey, this is like part of the video game. It's going to kind of tie in. Like that's pretty neat. Like that's kind of cool. And I don't know if they ever really do that. It doesn't mean I'm going to watch it though. Cause you know, I don't know. Like, it looks cool. I like the animated thing. I like they have a little more freedom to do stuff. But like to me, like I never really watched the movies. I never before. I never did any of that shit. So
real quick, Tony. You said you mentioned Uncharted, which this feels a lot like too. Did you watch the live action with Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg and did you like it?
I couldn't
ever watched it.
Couldn't get through more than 10 minutes. It was horrible.
And you didn't like it either, DP?
I never even watched it. I don't know. I don't know if I had an interest. The trailer's enough and everything looked like, yeah, you know, did not look interesting.
I must be a bitch because I love that movie.
I like the second video game, Uncharted 2, but that's about it.
That's why I like the movie. Never played a video game. That's why I like it. Yeah.
There you go. Well, I'm sure plenty of people that have played the Lara Croft Tomb Raider games will be interested in checking this out. Let's go to something more of a documentary style, something that is an actual thing that happened. Apollo 13 Survival is a doc that's coming to Netflix. It is a cinematic retelling of the iconic space story where three astronauts halfway to the moon. Folks, the iconic line isn't Houston, we have a problem. And I've been arguing with people for years, and now if you watch the trailer, you can hear it. The iconic line is Houston, we've had a problem. And the problem is they can't get moving where they want to go. And if they can't figure it out, they're going to miss the moon and they're going to die floating off into space, whether it's their spaceship that breaks down and causes them not to be sheltered, or if they die of hunger or they suffocate for lack of oxygen. DP, this is a huge thing for people that grew up in the 60s and early 70s. That were of age, the space program was like the thing going on. Like people were glued to their televisions and radios, listening to every move that we would make back then, the space race, and then ultimately going back and trying to recover more data. What'd you think of the trailer here?
It looks, really interesting. I love that they're kind of doing this with the original footage. I didn't see Tom Hanks anywhere, which was interesting.
Well, he was not.
I thought he was there. Oh, okay. Damn. Well, oh well.
I think he was on an island.
No, Gary Sinise.
No,
he was on an island with Wilson.
No, Gary Sinise was on a boat with Tom Hanks.
But yeah, like this documentary looks like it could be really cool. Like you said, you know, that at that time as well, like when this shit happened, you know, everybody's just, you know, glued to wonder what the hell is going to happen, listening in to all the conversations that are going on that they were allowed to listen to. It's like, I don't know, like it's super tense kind of movie or documentary that we'd watch, which I think is really kind of neat. Like Apollo 13, the movie was really awesome, like a really, really good movie. And that alone was like, holy shit, got really tense about watching them if they're going to hit their marks and get the LEM back on track to get home and slingshot around the moon, right? Like, that was really cool. And now to be able to see, like, this is, like, the real shit. They put together all the different footage that they had of this. Like, oof, man. Like, it looks like they have some of the video from up in space while they're have their camera, you know, watching things. Like, oof, you know, get kind of chills. Obviously, knowing how it ended is great. It's a good news story in a sense, but being able to see all the original footage is going to be kind of neat.
For me, I'd like to see little bit more of the family members of these people who were had to endure this, and maybe their recap or you know what they were going through at the time, Ray.
Well, first thing I want to say, I feel so bad for all those truthers who believe that this shit didn't really happen. This ain't for y'all. They got actual footage. So, you know, of course we can't go to the moon. But shit, all right. No, man, so my affinity for disaster movies. The ultimate disaster movie is Apollo 13, because the shit really happened. But yeah, I'm interested because, first and foremost, the space race, if you care about stuff like that, is extremely interesting. Getting to the moon and then saying, fuck it, we're going back. And that shit not working. What the fuck happened? And yes, I get it. I get it. We have an idea what happened because of the movie. But yeah, to see these Poindexters and guys who losing their mind here in Houston trying to figure out in real time, yeah, that's going to be fun as hell. Because I know they were losing their shit.
Wouldn't it be funny if they just swerve us all on this documentary and they show, Hollywood Studio, and they show the whole thing about how they did?
Dumbass.
That'd be the greatest swerve in Hollywood history.
That would have been like if Ryan Reynolds put out Alpha Cop, and 5 minutes into the movie it was Deadpool and Wolverine, like we had talked about. He had the idea for it, right? But yeah. No.
That's like Lawler giving up the game with the Andy Kaufman thing, like at 50 years after he died. Like, well, bro, let it die. Let it live.
What's the movie that's coming out with Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson that's actually about, like, if they faked the moon landing, isn't it?
Is it really? That's the thing?
DP, you want to research that? I thought I saw something. Look at Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson movie. Before we move on here.
Fly Me to the Moon?
Fly Me to the Moon. Yeah.
Oh. Nice.
Boy, if they don't have that song in there, I'd be really disappointed. Fly me to the moon. No.
It costs so much money, brother.
They couldn't get the rights, yeah.
Well, they're not paying for real space exploration. They're using a studio, so they should have some money left over.
That's right. Oh, I remember seeing the trailers for that. Yeah.
So they're actually going to the moon, but they're preparing a fake moon
just in case
it don't work.
I got you.
Got it.
Good call. Thank you for that synopsis. Okay, well, there you go. That's just an extra thing we threw in there. Bonus content update for you guys, okay? Oh, let's get to one of my favorite things in the world of bandwagon nerds, and it's the Lord of the Rings, guys. Ray is not a Lord of the Rings fan. Dan, did you ever watch Lord of the Rings? You did?
Love the Lord of the Rings. Okay. Yeah, they were great movies.
Thank God you're here then. we are going to get it almost looks like a more of an anime style cartoon, and it's the Lord of the Rings, The War of Rohirrim? 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 No? Okay.
This is as good as mine.
Yeah. So
I love the Lord of the Rings, but not that much.
Right. So this is set almost 200 years before the trilogy of movies by Peter Jackson, and it tells the story of Helm Hammerhand, a legendary king of Rohan, and his family as they defend their kingdom against an army of Dunlendings. So what I see from the trailer is kind of someone walking in as a wolf in sheep's clothing, proposing something that would actually give them power and take over the throne, and the old man realizes it. The trailer was pretty good. I give them so much credit to transferring this into this medium, because you can't go back to New Zealand and do this all over again, right? The costs were probably astronomical back then, and the state of the global economy isn't much better right now. But, DP, are you interested in this, and do you like the change in medium that you're going to be consuming this in?
And I had a tough time getting into it when I first saw the trailer, seeing that it was an anime style, and it was like, oh boy, like, I don't know if this is going to work, but I think if anybody can get it to work, it's these guys, just with the story alone for the Lord of the Rings stories.
Kenji Kamiyama is going to be taking over the project. Worked on DuckTales back in the day, guys.
Yeah. Woo.
Geno Cyber, Wild Arms, Metabots, a lot of anime. Ghost in the Shell series, Eden of the East. For those of you that are Keiki fans, Ray, any thoughts here on the trailer or any interest at all?
Is this new? There's a new thing. There's a new script and all that good stuff.
It's obviously from some portion of the books, right? And the story's already been told, but it's going to be the recanting. And it's funny because inside of this trailer, you see someone collecting rings and asking, what do these people even care for these rings for, you know? And then me, I'm not a big fan, but like, I'm like, okay, well, listen, there's one important one, dude.
They're collecting rings. Is Sonic coming? Is that what we're doing? Sonic 3 is happening.
Marshawn Lynch will be crossover. Narrating.
So one thing I got to correct my brother, Tony, I got to correct you on.
Uh-oh.
You said that they can't do live action because they can't go to New Zealand. You know who owns the rights to Lords of the Rings right now? Lord of the Rings right
New
now?
New Zealand?
Bezos. He could buy New Zealand.
That's Jesus. Possible.
Ugh. Maybe that's why they're doing anime.
That's a good point.
I mean, I don't know.
So look, I'm not gonna sit here and hate on the Lord of the Rings. It's not for me. But I know these movies have been, God, I can't think of many movies in a series that have won two best pictures, right? Didn't two of the Lord of the Rings movies win two best pictures? I know one of them did.
One of them did. I know they've won multiple awards each time, but I don't know best picture was one of them twice.
But they kill it every time. And deservedly so. The cast is fantastic. I'm not trying to read them long-ass, old-ass books, but good on anybody who does. I am a bit disappointed, personally. Just from the idea of loving, of liking IPs and what you can do with them, that they would take this massively successful legendary franchise, find a new story to tell, and say, fuck it, we're gonna do an anime. Like, if you want to do animation, anime, manga type world, cool. You do that shit with the shit you already got. Redo it that way. Man, you better call Sir Ian McKellen. You better go get Aragorn. What's my boy who's the Pirates of the Caribbean guy? Better go get Elijah Wood. Ain't doing shit. Go Mando get these Bloom.
Yeah, but I don't. It seems like they don't really want to dive back into more of the major motion picture because look at the direction they've gone now is two completely different ones with the Rings of Power having a series, right? And now an anime.
Still live action.
I understand. But I mean, I think staying away from the movie kind of keeps those on a pedestal more.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less cards going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Why not? Like, this is a smaller part of a story. Like, I can see him like, hey, let's try and get into the realm of anime type of stuff for an animated one. And let's see how it does, you know, because it's not a big, doesn't seem like it's a big part of the story, but it fills a gap in the timeline. Because like you said, there's so many stories to tell and you can do so many different things with that, you know, that genre, that the story, those books like have a ton of shit, you know? So like, why not try it? And see everything how it works out.
Everything you say makes perfect sense. It's just that it's new and never been told. And the first time people are going to get eyes on it is through an animated medium. Like, all three of us know people. And we're animation guys. But all three of us know people who it could be the greatest thing ever made. I'm talking with depth. Scorsese could love it. And if it's animated, they won't watch it.
I don't think either of us are disagreeing with what you're trying to say. I think DP and I are both saying it feels like they wanted to have a foot in animation, and this is the story they chose to tell. You know, I don't know for sure. I'm not going to watch it, but I'm sure Dave and Patrick will come in here with Dan and probably let us know how it's going.
It's going to cost a lot less, I'll tell you that.
Well, for sure.
And that may be the big thing, right?
That might be the big thing right there. So, hey, why don't we take one more commercial break? When we come back, no more commercials, news around the nerdosphere, and what you watch. And right here, Bandwagon Nerds 251 with DPP, Ray Cash, and PC Tunney.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. I figured I'd add a news soundbite for news around the nerdosphere.
Oh, man, that's breaking news. You can't do that.
You are conditioned to know that as breaking news because you've worked with me for a very long time, but nobody else knows that, Ray.
You say maybe saw my ears perk up like if I was a dog. Good thing I've been slapping.
Ray's like, I know what that is. That's bullshit. You lied to me. Houston, we've had a problem. No. Well, we're good. News around the Nerdosphere. We're going to start with something Ray Cash dropped, and I feel like it might be something near and dear to his heart. Backyard Sports franchise will be relaunched video game-wise. What else? They're doing a whole bunch of different things.
Series. They're merch. Like, merch, it's going to be a whole thing, yeah.
Go ahead, Ray. Take it away.
So we live in this world, clearly, where Hollywood and the people who are in charge of our entertainment have no idea how to make new shit. Don't care. Don't want to. Waste of time. So if you're going to go back to the well and find some shit that you can remake or redo, man, do you understand how many people who are between the ages of 30 and 50 have loved the hell out of playing those backyard sports games? My boy with the... Thank you, Mr. DPP. Thank you, Mr. Scientist. My boy with the backwards hat, booming them things, bruh. Like, I love it. And doesn't it feel very, you mentioned Goonies, doesn't it feel very, Sandlot. Probably more Sandlot than, Alfalfa and Buckwheat and
Little Rascals.
It actually feels more Sandlot than Little Rascal, so thank you for pointing that out. But, dog, you could do something with this, bro. Like, first and foremost, in this world now of games, with all the different new next-gen platforms we have, and then, dog, you telling me that 2025, 2026, a 10-episode season of Backyard Sports, you would watch it? Like, live action?
A fun little cartoon to watch. I mean, right? That's a Saturday morning show right there for sure. I mean, I played all of them. Loved it. Loved that. Loved Backyard Sports. I mean, This is one I would, you know, I'd go, you know, nowadays, like I got my Steam Deck or whatever. I'd download that. You know, you want to play just a quick sports game or something, you know, something stupid fun. Don't have to worry about any seriousness or rules. My backyard football, I played the hell out of. Like, that was fun. And it had the actual names of the players, too. Like, it wasn't all fake names. Like, actually had a, you know, some rights, which I'm sure they probably won't this time around. But
zero.
But, like, they're fun. They're just fun, you know, quirky games that you just want to waste, you know, half an hour and just play something. Like, these were fucking great. These were great to play back in the day.
And it's also a fantastic shell that you could throw some backstory to in 5 seconds and make a story out of it.
So I am thrilled to see the excitement in your eyes, the two of you, and in your voices. I barely remember this being a thing.
Like, good himself.
And I probably don't give a shit, to be honest with you. But I'm thrilled for the two of you. And honestly, if they wouldn't be bringing it back if there weren't a lot of fans of it, okay? It's just something that's not for me. I'm sorry, Ray. Dan could probably really care less how I feel about it. I feel like Ray lost a little piece of his heart that I stepped on. I didn't mean to do it, buddy.
Perpetually disappointed.
Just destroyed his childhood.
Yeah. The last vestiges of my childhood have been destroyed.
I didn't even know you until you were in your 30s.
Same thing. That's okay. Doesn't matter.
Well, keep an eye out, folks. Dan and Ray approved Backyard Sports. Let's get into our next piece of news here. The Acolyte canceled. Big surprise, right, guys? The rumors around are that while with Andor, viewership continued to progress as the series went on, that there was an unbelievably steady decline in viewership after the second episode here. But I think the more important thing that you read in this article is that Soul could have possibly been played by Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
I saw that. Doesn't sound like he might be, that it still may happen as another character. Keanu Reeves really wants to play somebody.
I believe
in
that.
The universe.
I believe that. I mean, look, you got like Jude Law coming in now wanting, you know, playing a Jedi as well. But how do you think this could have been different, Ray, if we had Neo as Soul?
Well, number one, they would have pushed a whole lot more because it would have been a major star. Not that Amanda Steinberg isn't a nice level star in her own right. But yeah, man, they'd push the shit out of this. Keanu? I haven't watched it, so I can't tell you from a story standpoint. It is a shame we missed season two, though, because I heard that Ron Simmons and John Layfield were coming. But can't do nothing about that now at this point.
No, John Layfield was in GCW over the weekend, Ray. There's your second wrestling reference. DP.
Yes. I popped hard for that.
How do you feel about the cancellation of The Acolyte and the news that Soul could have possibly been played by Keanu Reeves?
It had a Matrix reunion.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Carrie Ann Moss side by side with Keanu Reeves once again.
She is.
Would have been really interesting. Could have been fun. They could have made some kind of Easter egg quips about the Matrix. That would have been funny. That would have been great.
So can you two do this for me? Give me a quick synopsis of why it's so bad.
The Acolyte?
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. I was hoping they were going to have a second season. We were kind of going towards Yoda. And I think
Baby Yoda or actual Yoda? Grogu or actual Yoda?
No, Yoda.
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 Okay.
I think, like, kind of Patrick and Dave alluded to, that the storytelling wasn't solid. There were some parts of it that just didn't make a lot of sense. Some of the acting wasn't great, in my opinion. But I actually liked the May and Osha dynamic of these twins, and they're actually one person. You were kind of finding the origins of the Sith as well, and you were kind of getting into some more witchcraft inside of the Star Wars lore. Those are the things that I liked. I just feel like people just didn't connect with this story. It was a different way of telling a story about a Jedi, about Jedis, to me, than we're used to.
Yeah, it was an odd story. The bringing in like this whole witches coven and witchcraft type of stuff, and how they were able to basically create a child, you know, where they said, like, you know, that's never been done. And that was the whole lore of Anakin. Like, you know, he was just born, like he didn't have a father type of thing. Like everybody, I think everybody was up in arms about that part of the story. But I thought, like, I liked it. I thought it was fine. PC was saying, you know, the kind of origin-esque of the Sith, where, you know, one guy kind of went rogue and was this kind of badass dude that, you know, you didn't know where the fuck he came from and who he was. And the one sister trying to get revenge because she thought, you know, she was betrayed and, you know, that a Jedi killed the rest of her family type of thing, and learning all that was, I mean, I thought it was still really good to me. I didn't have a problem with it.
Is that coven the same coven from Ahsoka?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
I do believe not. So... yeah, I mean, but here's the thing, guys. We're never going to run out of Star Wars stuff. So we already talked about something new coming here in December. So there it is. It's just basically came down to people didn't watch it. And I think less and less people are actually watching Disney Plus, too. I think Disney Plus is really lagging as far as streaming services go, in my opinion. I really don't. I haven't turned it on except for The Acolyte in the last how many months?
To me, I understand why they did it, and I'm not against the idea, but they ruined it for me when they added Hulu and all the other stuff and made it one hub, because now a lot of the shit that I may want to watch, I just go to the other sites and watch. Disney Plus doesn't feel important anymore. Because I already subscribed to Hulu, I just go to Hulu and watch that. I already subscribed to ESPN Plus, I go to ESPN Plus and watch that. And I don't have the deal with Max, but I already pay for Max. I go to Max and watch that. So, like, they're not putting enough Disney shit out to placate me from watching that over watching these other platforms.
Yeah, there is definitely no lack of other avenues to gain your streaming, to quench your streaming thirst. So we'll put it that way. Something that might be a little uncomfortable to talk about, more Bo DiMaio news. I'm going to read his lawyer's statement regarding allegations. My client never sent lewd videos and photos to his direct reports. That is a bald-faced lie and defamatory. No one reported Bo to HR received an inappropriate photo or video. That is simply untrue. As a proud gay black man, Disney knew exactly who he was and what he stood up for. That's why they did not tell him to stop his OnlyFans page. They let him be himself, which has allowed creativity to thrive. When they objected to his free speech rights and not complying with illegal NDAs, certain person over there tried to replace him because he was becoming more successful than other creators. Ask Disney if his separation agreement illegally silenced him. Let me know what they say. Don't print this crap. It's wrong and defamatory. The reports are alleging nude photos, groping, emotional and physical abuse of staffers.
That boy should have said, nobody who reported Bo to HR ... That's the end of the conversation.
Because basically he's saying there are people who didn't report him to HR that did receive photos.
I'll take it the other way. What he's saying is there are people did report Bo to HR, but not about that.
Okay.
So, like, hey, I know my client murdered someone, but he did not murder that man.
Yeah.
Like, my client's a murderer, but he didn't murder that Jackson over there. Like, what are you doing? Bad. It's all bad.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it is all bad.
Honestly, I really don't care anymore. I hope anybody that suffered from this, and even if it's Bo who didn't, maybe if he didn't do anything wrong, or if he did, the people that he hurt, I hope all those people find peace and are able to move forward. But honestly, I'm just tired of hearing about it, right? I mean, X-Men 97 was awesome. I'm sure the second season that we already have that's going to be coming out that he did is going to be awesome as well. And I feel like they're continuing it for a reason, and they trust who they're going to put in there. I mean, if it's – I don't think we're ever really going to know the truth.
So, ultimately, I'm going to say this, and I'm sorry, Dan, give me just a second. I'm going to get right back to you. I just want to say this real fast. I didn't really care about this in general. I just want to know why he was fired. Because the way he was fired was some of the most weird, like, head-scratching shit. And now there's two stories that you can surmise your own story from the two stories, but clearly there was something there. And Marvel, the giant it is, Disney, the mouse, when... when they hit back, the motherfuckers hit back. That was a haymaker to the dome. So.
Yeah, that's the problem with these two, right? Is like, I just want to know what the hell happened, and we're not going to get it. We're going to get partial truths all over the place. I mean, that's what's happening here, right? It's going through all the different scenarios of what happened and different parts of the story we're going to hear, and people are going to say that's not true, and other people are going to say that's not true, and whatever. And there's partial truths in all of this. I mean, there's a reason. If they're saying it, somebody got some of this shit, and it's really shitty. But I'm happy to move on, because, yeah, I'm in, you know, I'm in the side of PC where it's like, I don't really give a fuck. Like, it's fine. We're moved on. You know, X-Men's going to continue. He's getting his name taken out of the credits for the next season, or one part of it, whatever. And, you know, that'll keep moving on. It's unfortunate for the people involved. But I would be like, I just want to know what the hell happened, and then let's move on. But we're not going to get it. We're going to get partial truths. Okay. Sucks. Sucks for everybody.
I think what Dan just said, along with Ray and I's sentiments, we all kind of are in the same boat here. So, let's talk about our last bit of news around the nerdosphere that found myself and DP clamoring in happiness and also slinking our shoulders in sadness, because there is a bottom to each of our pocketbooks. Nike and Lego are entering a new partnership that's designed to leverage both creativity and sports. The two entities confirmed today that this was earlier in the week, that starting in 2025, fans will be able to get their hands on co-branded products that reimagine the unlimited creative opportunities of Lego pieces throughout the lens of Nike. There will also be releases of special content along with experiences for kids across the globe that will be announced at a later date. The duo has also created a special animation for today's announcement, which appears below. If you guys want to see that animation, head on over to complex.com and check out their Nike Lego story. The VP of Global Kids at Nike, Cal Dauer, said, "We believe in the power of sport to move the world forward, and that starts with kids. We're committed to creating a more accessible and inclusive future that inspires kids of all ages and abilities to be more active. Together with the Lego Group, we're excited to invite all kids into a new version of sport and creative play." Now, just to be on both sides here, my excitement is excellent here. I am not just a person who only buys Nike, but it is my favorite brand. Lego had partnered with Adidas in 2020 and 2021 and did not see great benefits in that partnership, but Adidas is also not Nike. One of the first things DP and I saw here, and speaking of one specific part of Nike that no one else has even long arms to stretch out and reach out and touch, is the Jordan part of the brand, to which I've already seen some different Air Jordans that are going to be coming out as Lego sets. I'm going to start with Ray, who's not a gigantic Lego guy, but I'm sure he appreciates it. What do you think about this? What do you think about this partnership and where this could go?
So hold on. I'm talking to a dude whose entire basement is covered in Legos. I'm talking to another dude who every time I see him has a whole nother set that I don't even know where he has the place to put the shit. Look, just because I buy like 3 or 4 a year doesn't mean I'm not a Lego fan.
No, I didn't say, I said not as hardcore. That's what I meant.
Well, look, you're right. Y'all motherfuckers own stock in that shit. Like, your name's on the masthead of fucking Lego. I'm not there. No. Can instead of speaking to you, beautiful gentlemen, can I speak to the heads of Lego and Phil Knight and company? Don't mind. Hey guys, it's Ray. Just want to let you know. I appreciate what y'all doing. Been a fan of both my entire life. But bitch, I'm broke. Stop it. Why are you doing this to me? I'm broke.
So you're telling me Ray Cash would actually like to have a nice Lego pair of Jordans sitting up on the shelf.
What? What? Man, please, look. So first and foremost, we all have to admit our flaws. I'm superficial as fuck. Anything you could give me this cup, right? You put a Nike check mark on it, I want that bitch. Like, I admit it. I'm superficial. You gonna give me some Lego shit with the check mark? Did you see the picture of the Lego face with the check mark mouth? This wall will be full of Legos. Like, again, Mr. Knight, Mr. Legoless. Why are you doing this to me?
Mr. Legoless.
I am broke. Like, can you help a brother out? Please. Because at the rate I'm at, me and my four kids are going to have to move to the great state of Milwaukee. I said state for a reason. And sleep in Dan's damn Thunderdome.
Well, there's extra
looking
room.
At the old Legos, the non-Nike Legos, which is still amazing, but the non-Nike branded ones. So, like, just to live, to start and finish my habit, because they keep calling me. Just, why are you doing this to me? This is unnecessary. Can't you just leave, let alone? Let the poor people stay poor.
Well, they're trying to keep the poor people poor. DP, they're trying to make the upper middle class people poor too, like you.
Really trying. They keep this up. There's not going to be a room for anybody to sleep in because it's going to be so Legos. I'm going to need that room. I'm going to need that room. Shit, man. I'm looking at the fireplace over there. Nice little mantle. It might be a good place to see all these new shoes that are going to be coming out. So
do I really need a fireplace? Do we That's need cool. a bed? I don't think we need a bed. Yeah. We can put some Legos there.
So I'm saying that room's going to be back into a Lego room before we know it. This is fucking crazy. There's so much shit they can do with this. Like, you know, you look at the anime picture that they had up there, that video, you know, other than basketball, you know, they see a skateboard ramp and a soccer field. Like, they're going to be doing a ton of shit. Like, this can go really far, with all the different stuff they can put together. And what else I saw might be interesting too is, tying it to wrestling, Roman Reigns is getting his own Nike Jordan brand collection. So could they do something here?
If there's a Bloodline Lego set, I need you to know I'm selling my children.
Oh my God. If this, like, I'm thinking down the road here, how crazy this would be if they could bring those worlds together.
Totally tangent. One of my favorite Steve Harvey jokes, when he's talking about how he was friends with Michael Jackson, he was like, Michael Jackson different. Because Michael Jackson got money. Y'all don't even know. Like, Michael Jackson got giraffe money. Like, y'all wouldn't even know who the fuck to call a giraffe, to buy a giraffe. Y'all gonna be calling the zoo. Like, can I get that giraffe? That's how I feel about Roman Reigns and the Bloodline Legos. If they have them, hey, can you buy a 13-year-old black kid? He's potty trained. Knows how to cook. He can do on air.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm selling children, bro. To get this stuff. Sorry if y'all listening to this, girls. You're not here, but still.
Well, keep your eyes out for that happening here as we approach 2025. Just some very interesting news from Nike and Lego, and we're all very much excited. Just kind of adjacent to that, I ordered a pair of OG Jordan 1s, Lowe's, white, black, and Vegas gold. Should be here this week, so... Following PC Tunney, I'll throw that picture out when my feet get in them this week. But let's transition on over into what you're watching, gentlemen. DP, what you been watching?
I missed a week or two here at Bandwagon Nerd, so I got a list. We cranked through Andor because we actually never watched Andor, so we Got through that one. Watched that. That was fantastic. I'm looking forward to the next season of that. We watched a show called Alcapoco. Look at those Nikes. Oh, shit. DC showing off the Lego Nikes that are coming next year. Oh, baby. Acapulco was a lot of fun on Apple TV. A couple seasons, new season coming out eventually. If you get a chance, highly recommend that one. Though you got to do some reading, big subtitles, because half of it is in Spanish. So
okay, got it.
That's the only bad part of it for me, because I don't speak Spanish. So I got to read a lot.
Hola.
But it's still very entertaining, very funny.
PC Tunny, ¿cómo estás?
Hola Juan, hola Esteban. ¿Dónde es la biblioteca?
Cocaína, cocaína.
Cocaína. Oh, I'm
worried. Shout out to Bedazzled.
We watched a documentary called How to Rob a Bank on Netflix, which is a real life story.
I think I started watching that.
It was interesting. Nothing special, but kind of cool to see this guy rob like 14 banks in the same Seattle area. Like, how the fuck does that? How do you do that without getting caught?
In Seattle?
Like, crazy. Yeah, this is old, like back in the mid 90s. Like, yeah, it was nuts. Watched next season Unstable on Netflix, which is a fantastic show. Phenomenal. Like Rob Lowe and his kid. Really good show.
Stuff. Yep.
And then I am continuing watching Cobra Kai to get caught up. I just started season 3. And it is taking a turn, because I thought it was going to be a lot more like just campy shit. And it was like, ooh, now you're getting serious now. So like, a lot of fun. Really like that show. Getting better and better with every episode.
What you been watching, Ray?
Oh, man, I'm trying to think of anything relevant. I will tell you the one thing I did watch musically. And I know it's a genre that you guys probably listen to but aren't like crazy into. But do you guys watch the NPR Tiny Desks? Have you ever watched any of those performances? So NPR, the news organization, has this thing called Tiny Desk, where at their headquarters in DC, it's a like a cubicle corner desk, and like artists will come and do like a stripped down unplugged version of their sets. And I mean, it's been big forever, but like this past 2 years, they've had like major people like Justin Timberlake. But the thing about it is, especially for people of my ilk, they will bring like the people you would never expect, like Juvenile.
I don't know what you mean.
Black folk time.
Oh,
black folk.
Oh.
Black folk.
So not Dan.
Yes, yes. The Negroes. Yes. Black folk. Yes. Let's clear that up for you, just so you know. But like they, it's okay, Dad. It's all good. The melanin's in there. The melanin's in there somewhere. Dog. It's in there somewhere.
eat another potato, Irish.
But like they'll bring people like Juvenile, and to see like Juvenile do a set with like a live band of his songs in front of like this office setting is hilarious. Maxwell did it. And I'm a major Maxwell fan. I know neither of you two know who the fuck Maxwell is. Tony, you fucked a couple girls to Maxwell songs. There's no way you haven't. Okay. Given the era of, that we came from, you and Dan are the same age. I don't know if Dan was as enterprising as a youth as Mr. Tony was.
Dan was way more enterprising than Tony.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
Didn't see that coming, did ya?
I'm pleasantly surprised. Oh, boy. I'm going to give you a fist bump when the show comes.
I didn't know I had game, but apparently I had game.
Those are the ones that got the best game, the ones that don't know they got it. But for sure, his Tiny Desk came out, and that was 23 minutes of just pure joy. I mean, like, smiles in my face the whole time.
I can relate to what you're saying, though, because it's always cool to see an artist that you enjoy in a different setting and watch them thrive. Yes. And watch them thrive in an environment that you're not used to. Doesn't mean they're not used to it.
Yes. And y'all may know this, but I don't know if I've told y'all this, but I come from I'm a musical family. My grandmother played piano religiously from the moment she was 6 to the day she died. I'm talking like she was playing for the church when she was 9 years old, getting paid. Like, my uncle plays bass and electric and was in a Zydeco band. Y'all know what Zydeco is. Just Google it. That toured the country and like other countries, like was very significantly big for a while. So I come from a very musical family. So I have a very big appreciation for live music. And so whenever I see artists do songs or performances and they're live music with a live band, it just does something to me, bro. It just warms the cockles of my heart.
I was hoping you'd say cockles. That's what, when you said warms, cockles came into my head. Not your cockles, but like the word.
That's a loaded state. That look, you won't do it, but that's just as good as the saltwater one. You need to keep that.
I'll spare Andrew. He'll be getting enough shit from me starting this week for the next 20 weeks. I started suffering from House of the Dragon withdrawals, so now I am going back for the fourth time and watching Game of Thrones. I am through season one already, and the first three episodes of season two, and I am loving it as much, if not more, just catching things that not just show you what you could have realized was going to happen moving forward in the original Game of Thrones, but things that reference what we're actually experiencing now in House of the Dragon. So it's really fun. The only weird thing is I'm rewatching on HBO Max, which I've already done once. So every time I try to start an episode, it wants to start at the credits.
I hate that. I need to fix that.
What you need to do is hit episode details, and then it'll ask you if you want to restart. So figured that little hack out. The other thing that I watched yesterday, I don't know if you guys are familiar with comedian Matt Rife, but he has a new special on Netflix called Lucid, and it is 55 minutes of him doing crowd work. He's not doing bits. He's not really, he has jokes that he has ready, you can tell, but the interaction he has with the crowd and the crowd's willingness to interact and be open with him, it's a really, really fun 55 minutes if you're looking to escape and chuckle a little bit. So check that out on Netflix. That's Matt Rife, Lucid, a crowd work special.
It's funny you say that, because I've had this conversation with Patrick and Dave before, because I understand this is a new generation, right? And shout out to Nate Jackson, another comic who does fantastic crowd work. But Matt Rife has perfected the art of crowd work to your point where he don't even have to do sets anymore. His whole set is crowd work. And reminds you of like a guy like Jimmy Carr, who was one of the greatest in terms of going back and forth with the crowd. But the things that Matt Rife is able to do, and more importantly, what the crowd is willing to give him. The crowd is just as much into the
they
set
trust
as
him.
He is.
They trust him. They trust 1,000%. Him to open up. Yeah. And you see that watching it. DP and I were lucky to arguably see the greatest crowd work comedian of all time, and the proof is in the story I'm going to tell. This gentleman we saw in Vegas, after being on stage for 2.5 hours, looked at all of us and said, "I've been done for an hour and a half. Do you guys have anything else?" And that was Howie, and that was Howie Mandel, who did his set for an hour and then fucked with our crowd for 90 minutes. And it's probably, besides seeing Eddie Izzard, my favorite stand-up I've ever gone to see. So
easily one of the most underrated stand-ups of all time.
Oh,
because you don't know him as a stand-up,
right? Especially now you know him as Deal or No Deal or Bobby's World or America's Got Talent, right? But the guys, yeah,
he killed it.
So
fantastic.
So great.
There is one more movie I watched on Netflix. Halle Berry, Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, was it good?
And J.K. Rowling.
What's it called?
I really enjoyed it.
The Union. I almost watched that yesterday, I watched Matt Rife instead. So I'm glad I did that because you've already watched that. But it's good. It's worth a watch. It looks really interesting.
And there's a new Untold out. If you guys don't watch the Untold sports series on Netflix, they're all amazing.
What's the new one?
Steve McNair and his death.
Oh, I seen that, and
ooh.
I remember when it happened, and I was a really big Oilers fan, for Warren Moon to Eddie George, and then to when they transferred to the Titans and McNair.
That's
and
that melanin.
I just
melanin, you got it.
I just remember. I'm trying not to laugh. I just remember being really sad hearing about how Steve McNair died. So.
Well, shit. Think about it. Black kid in Houston loves living there.
Right.
Then becomes the Ravens quarterback.
At the end of his career, yeah.
He was one of my heroes. Yep. Him and Warren Moon were my heroes because I wasn't around for Doug Williams. Like, who the fuck is that? Right? I'm not watching Philly. Who the fuck is Randall Cunningham? Like, those are my guys. So, yeah. I definitely want to watch it because I know they'll do it justice. And if you know the story and how it happened, tell the story.
Yeah. All right, guys. Hey, great show this week. Thank you guys for joining me. Patrick and Dave should be back next week. Hope we did the show justice here with a bunch of nerd talk, some trailers, some news, a little what you watch. And DP, why don't you let everybody know what's going on with you and where they can find you?
You can find me trying to rewrite the terms of my, house payments so that I can figure out how to get more money to buy more Legos. Follow that intriguing story. And it's me, DPP, all over the worldwide social media interwebs. And you can also listen to me on the DWI podcast. Follow that at Podcast DWI and Facebook.com/DWI podcast.
I found myself listening to Ray and Carl this morning on the latest edition of the Front and Center Sports podcast as they started with a recount of their love for the Fast and Furious series before they actually started talking sports. But when you listen to Ray and Carl, it doesn't matter what they talk about. It's always a good time. So make sure you're checking them out most Sunday mornings on Chairshot Radio Network. And I know Ray's not going to tell you that you can follow him at It's Ray Cash. But Ray, what else is going on over by you?
I see you. I'm going to punch you in the fucking head.
Watch out. Watch out for your cockles.
I'm going to hug you first. Then I'm going to punch you. But since he already told you my supposed Twitter account, you can follow me at www.gofundme.com/ please give me money so I can buy Lego, Jordan, Nike shit. Please.
You can follow me at PC Tunney. Please listen to the new season debut of Chairshot NFL this Thursday morning. Myself and Andrew Blaz will be back breaking down who we
Wait
think...
a minute. Stop. Stop.
What?
I got fired.
I thought you were doing your other show.
No, good. I'm glad. I quit, but nobody told me.
I asked you about this already.
We didn't. Last year?
No, when you started doing Front and Center.
I don't remember.
Ray, you're more
I've
than,
slept since then.
Ray, you're more than welcome to join us every Wednesday evening to record Chairshot.
I'll definitely pop in from time to time, sure.
All right. So make sure everybody's checking that out. Chairshot Radio Network, great episode of the Big Five Project. DPP joined us for a double watch along of WrestleMania 10, Owen and Brett, and the infamous ladder match between Razor and Sean. So make sure you're checking all that fun stuff out. We'll be right back here next week with Bandwagon Nerds 252. Until then, I don't care. Stay in the basement. Play video games. Do whatever the fuck you want. This is thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.